past 5 o'clock on the most listened to sports talk show for your ride home.
What?
It is time for the Falcons Report.
Whoa.
Casey got another pick. Here's Julio down the far sideline and will score. Sacked. Brady Jarrett got another one.
You shall not pass.
The 5 o'clock Falcons Report.
Oh, my heavens.
On Dukes and Bell.
We are Dukes and Bell. We start every day and every hour by saying, hey, man. We are brought to you and driven by Kia. For more info, visit KiaDealers.com. Glad to have you listening on a Tuesday, guys. And we've got some things to discuss here in the next 15 minutes when it comes to John Collins and our Hawks. Trey's going to be back. But bad news today is Collins gets suspended by the NBA for 25 games. We're going to talk a lot about that coming up as part of our strong arm story of the day and the fact that Trey's coming back tonight. As the Spurs are in town, you can listen right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Pregame at 7. Tip is at 7:30. But Mike Bell, we got to talk about what should be a bigger and more impressive week for us, hopefully, coming out of the bye. And that's taking on New Orleans this weekend on Sunday, heading down to the Big Easy. Because as we get into our Falcon report, Falcons practiced yesterday. They're off today. But what are we now? What is going to happen coming out of this bye week now with the coaching shifts on the coaching staff?
Right. As we said, it maybe doesn't translate to being anything impressive for Falcon fans, but if it gets results on the field and the DBs pick something up from Raheem Morris, I guess then the question would be, why didn't you do that sooner? So we'll just wait and see where it goes. The Saints are hot. Obviously, we know what we know to expect. Sean Payton is 17-7 in his career against the Falcons, going back to the Steve Gleason punt block in 06. So, obviously, the guy is and he likes to stick it and twist it. Carl, do you remember the 2011 game back in December?
Uh-huh.
This is a game where Drew Brees was going for the single-season passing record. Is that what it was, or it was touchdowns? Either way, there was a record that Drew Brees was going for. And Sean Payton says, oh, we can get that. 46-15, they run it up against us that night, Monday Night Football, on it was either Sunday or Monday Night Football national game. So, that's the stuff that he pulls. So, now knowing that we're at where we're at, don't expect this guy to take the foot off the gas, but because it's a division game, and now we begin the divisional play, can Dan Quinn, to your point earlier, sell this as motivation to get these guys to finally get it together for four quarters?
For an entire game. And by the way, professional football is just that. This isn't a little league. So if you're expecting Sean Payton to not want to run it up, to Mike's point, I don't know what you're thinking. I mean, listen, if it was us and they were in our shoes and we were facing the 31st or 32nd worst defense in the I'd be saying, Matt Ryan, you better run it up too. And not because of the fact that this is competition, guys. This is, if you don't like it, stop it. This isn't, again, a participation trophy where everybody feels good after the game. They're coming to kick our butts and vice versa. But nobody feels sorry for us right now being 1-7 on the season. So, Mike, with these changes on the staff, if you missed it yesterday, Mike and I spent a lot of time talking about it. I just don't think it resonates with the average Falcon fan. If you were, right now on Peachtree and we stopped you on the street, Mike and I said, hey, Raheem Morris is now working with the secondary. Does that get you excited? I don't know if it does. Does it mean anything? I mean, if you're a hardcore fan and not a novice, maybe you go, well, Duke's, Raheem Morris is a guy that's seen many defenses as his background. I think we'll be better. Well, show me. Because to me, all of this stuff means nothing if we can't block, tackle, protect Matt Ryan, catch balls when we need to, Mike, get off the field on third down, make a field goal here or there. That's really what we're talking about.
Now, I don't know if there's any coincidence with it, but Marquand Manuel was a defensive backs coach who would dial up blitzes here and there, and we'd have some success. In 17, I think we talked about how good the defense was. 18, the injuries overwhelmed us, and then that's when that phrase we always use, Dan Quinn lost his compass, Marquand Manuel's not retained, and he's not coaching anywhere in this season. But Dan Quinn's a defensive line coach. And Dan was of the opinion you're going to get to the quarterback with the guys that he's used to and familiar with. And we're not, and we haven't. So having a guy who's familiar with DBs, working with them, I don't know if that energizes those guys. We talked earlier today, Takeo Spikes and Tutan Reyes were hanging out downtown, so we had them jump in studio for a little bit. And both guys had been in teams that won, both guys had been on teams that lost, Carl. And they said, look, you're not letting your teammate down, but there does get a time when it's just going bad when the coach, you just tune him out. That's human nature. But this team and these guys, we don't believe that's happened. At least they've all said the right thing, just they don't play that well. For whatever the reason is, this team is not playing anywhere near the expectation level anyone had around the league.
So you try to go out, you play for the guy next to you, you're playing for your, self-preservation, your pride, you're playing for a big-ass check. There are reasons to go out and perform well, but to your point, I don't know if Dan Quinn, and I'm saying this because, again, the team hasn't responded. And you can tell me about the talent and all this stuff that we've talked about, But until you see a team respond accordingly, it just doesn't add up. Something is missing. And I've talked about this, guys. You know, whether you want to get into the culture or the locker room stuff, it does matter. And for whatever reason, it is a fractured locker room and a fractured, you know, situation that we're dealing with, which is why we haven't won a bunch of games. But does that change now coming out of the bye? You've done evaluations. The owner's done evaluations. Players have had some self-reflection. Okay. So I want to see. And the thing that there's two things that could happen Sunday, Mike, that are really going to set me off one way or the other, right? Last week was great because I just put my phone down. I went out, played some golf. I enjoyed it. You were in Austin. We really didn't stress. Two things can happen. One, we come out and blow doors. And, you know, all of a sudden, what if we're up 24-3 at halftime or something right. crazy? And don't say it can't happen. It's the NFL, okay? And that's going to bug me because then I'm going to go, where the has this been? And then the other thing that's going to bug me is if we do the opposite and come out flat again and the Saints are all over us and we're struggling and you're going, you had 2 weeks. You did all this evaluation and now we come out. So either way, I think those two things could set me off. Now, I would prefer the first scenario, but right. I just think as a Falcon fan, you got to look at this and go, all right, let's see where we go the next 8 weeks. Obviously, change is not going to happen anytime soon. Everybody's been wondering and speculating, oh, Dan Quinn's going to get got after this game. It hasn't happened. Ian Rappaport came out 4 weeks ago. Oh, they're thinking about – they're not thinking about Jack. Nothing has happened.
Well, this is something we started the show talking about. And I don't mean this to be disrespectful because we always have a great rapport with Arthur Blank. I just don't know what he's doing right now. I don't mean that like he has – I know he knows what he's doing. He's been a billionaire. He's been very successful. I just don't know how he's approaching this. I wish we could get inside his head and, you know, pick his brain and go, well, you know, what are you doing? Are you talking like NFL guys outside of all the experience you got up there at Flowery Branch to maybe find some other opinions? I mean, what is the evaluation? Because when you're like, all we can go by is what Arthur said after the Seahawks loss. So, okay, we had a bye week. Dan did some minor tweaks, played some musical chairs with coaches. Now we got our arch rival, you know, and what happens if we get smoked? Is Dan going to get got on Monday or are we going to keep rolling? I mean, now we get into the division. Is that what Arthur, to your point earlier, is that the one thing that Arthur said? Look,
yeah.
We still have a chance, some winnable games. Cam Newton's not going to play for the rest of the season. If you missed that information, guys, he goes on IR with the leg injury, so he's done. Jameis is a hot mess. He does well against teams from the NFC West and then looks horrible against the others.
The crazy thing is Tampa Bay is not playing at a high level. Carolina is beatable. We're not going to see Cam, to Mike's point. The Saints are the best team in this division, but, you know, what team shows up on Sunday for us? So these questions are soon to be answered. Here's what Dan Quinn had to say about the coaching moves, because people were wondering, all right, so you're moving and shifting guys around. Are you changing titles? Because remember, 5 weeks ago, it was, I'm not relinquishing the play-calling duties. And then we lose against the Rams, and it's why I've been sharing the play-calling duties. I'm just stating facts. So Dan Quinn says, I'm not looking to change titles for certain guys.
Yeah, just coach. We're going old school, you know, man. Just coach. Yeah, coach in need and help fill in where needed. Anybody who's been around him that knows his energy, his swagger, his authenticity, especially at that position, has always been one of our strong suits. He's never, you know, really backed off. We're not into the title side of things. It's more into all hands on deck and getting our game in line like we want to.
Okay, now let me ask you this. If that is in fact true, and I'm going to take Dan Quinn's word for it, he's talking about Raheem Morris and, you know, his energy and moving him around. Right. I've stated this on the show previously, and I said, Mike, maybe 3-4 weeks in, maybe after the Tennessee game, and you just sense that the compass is again off, don't you have these coaches' meetings where you go, fellas, any ideas? Doesn't matter if you're the offensive line coach, defensive line coach, secondary coach, assistant head coach. What are the ideas? To me, this is something that should have been taking place. And if it has, then what is missing? Because that's the issue I have with this now is, oh, I just want to, you know, all hands on deck. Well, where were these meetings before?
Yeah, I mean, unless, as we said, they happened, but they weren't as publicized or weren't asked quite enough. The media hasn't asked the question. He's not going to give it to you necessarily. So, that's one out he has. I don't know, man. You tweak the defensive style and the approach, and the results have not been there. We're the worst defense in every category, guys. We've talked about it. In case you're wondering, guys, who's doing their job? Who are the guys that are earning their paychecks?
Who's doing their job?
I don't believe in everything Pro Football Focus comes up with, because I think there's some measurables that don't measure for the NFL like they do in baseball. But the PFF nerds, Julio, 85 overall grade at wide receiver and 82.2 for Austin Hooper. And on defense, who do you think the guy would be? Yeah, Grady Jarrett, elite level. Over a 90 overall grade, 90.2. And then Debo, who's had a bad year by Debo standards, because, you know, he's working hard and he's all over the field, but he's missed some plays, which is something we haven't seen from Debo, and he gets an 80.2 from the nerds at PFF.
So, in essence, the guys that you kind of know, these are our dudes, right? The guys that we expect to play well are. That's really what that's telling me. Julio, not surprised. Grady, not surprised. Debo could be better, but not surprised. I mean, that's
getting big money guys that are like top seven or top eight on our payroll that don't make any grades as far as top performers. Alex Mack and not Alex Mack. Yeah, Alex Mack's not on that list right now. Also, Jake Matthews and Desmond Trufant.
Yeah.
Oh, who are you? I'm the guy who does his job. Yeah. You must be the other guy.
We need everybody to do their job on Sunday. Let's hear from Cam Jordan, by the way. This is the guy. This is the guy that makes that stirs the drink for New Orleans. Okay, and it wouldn't surprise me. First of all, he gets up for these games. I know that personally. He gets up for these games. Two, he might have four sacks on Sunday, Mike. That's the kind of season he's having. Here's Cam Jordan.
It's like National Hate Week this week. Ain't no don't eat the cheese. Look, at the end of the day, they have extremely talented players. You know, you've got your tight end who's playing at a high level. You talk about what Julio is able to do year in, year out, what he's able to do this season, just the catches that he's made. You talk about Ridley as he's progressing as a receiver, but being able to run all the routes. And then you talk about, you know, their offensive line. You have Alex Mack. You can do a lot of things. Go Bears.
He will personally take on the challenge of trying to destroy Caleb McGarry on Sunday because that's what he takes pride in, that kind of stuff. And, you know, remember in the offseason, I don't even know if you guys remember this, he went to the sack camp. Chuck Smith came on with this, and he was there, and he was talking about, you know, oh, playing the Falcons, and he was even joking. Oh, yeah, they threw those guys out there, these rookies. Boy, I should have had more sacks.
But he's a veteran player who's always looking to improve his craft. I'm not going to say anything about number 44. But anyway, here's the veteran guy who's considered a really good defensive end who's working and trying to get better and takes, you know, again, this is a rivalry game. It means something to these guys. We said it. Sean Payton, he's 17-7. The Saints are 18-8 since Sean Payton got there. The 1 year, of course, the Bounty Gate suspension. But as we said, it's tough for Falcon fans. It's a weird spot. Some guys are already starting to look at mock drafts. I mean, good luck with that, guys. But, I mean, there's still all these games. We've got half the season now to play.
Hey, man, quick reminder, Falcon fans, tune in to 92.9 The Game 2 hours before every Falcons game for the Bud Light Countdown to Kickoff. Harry Douglas, Paul Crane will preview the Falcons' upcoming matchup. Countdown to Kickoff brought to you by Bud Light. Brewed for the Dirty Birds. What happened with John Collins? It's next on Dukes and Bell. It is Dukes and Bell. We're going to give you a chance to win some Hawks tickets. Stay tuned between now and 7 o'clock. And we'll give you an opportunity because Atlanta Hawks, they're going to host the Love Wins Pride Night presented by Grady Hospital on Wednesday, November 6th. That is, of course, tomorrow. Bulls in town. Tip-off's at 7:30. But the Hawks will be honoring the Human Rights Campaign Foundation, a nonprofit organization, guys. So get your tickets today at Hawks.com. Mike Bell, this morning we were minding our own business, and we get that big alert from Woj, who puts it out there that John Collins has been suspended for 25 games. And I think, you know, for most people, it caught everybody off guard about what this was and what the situation was. I think it's important, as we get to our strong arm story of the day, to, again, say this. It's not recreational drugs. And when you say what, you know, when the NBA puts these statements out, and I'm going to read you John Collins' statement to the fans of Atlanta here in a second, but you always go, what is this? It is not that kind of thing.
No, and they have, by the way, not that John does that, but they have lessened the way things are, adjudicated when it comes to marijuana tests in the NBA, and the NFL might follow suit. But that's the thing. As soon as something like this drops, you're on social media, and immediately guys like, yeah, he's on the, no, you don't know what he's on, and it's a PED that you can't pronounce. You know, and again, and you'll read the statement, but John, again, it's a guy that we really love and we really respect, and he's a total likable guy, and I would think he'd be smarter than this, but when do you see guys win these appeals? I mean, you and I were talking about this off the top of our head. Last time I've seen this go through the process with the NFL, it was the Minnesota Vikings players with those star caps. Remember that?
That was a big deal.
And that was, and they won that, but I mean,
that's because it was killing people, though.
Right. But yeah. Rarely, and it was guys trying to cut weight, basically, and lose the water weight. But no, I don't know where this is going. This is what a type of HGH, right? A type of human growth hormone.
It is. It brings us to our strong arm story of the day.
The strong arm story of the day is brought to you by John Foy and Associates Personal Injury Law.
So today I reached out to a few people that are close to John. First of all, his apology, which he puts out and says, I want to apologize to my teammates, the Hawks organization, fans, partners, community as a whole for this situation. I understand the impact of this matter has on what we're trying to achieve together this season. And he goes on to say, I'm incredibly frustrated and disappointed in myself for putting all of us in this position. I've always been incredibly careful about what I put in my body, but I took a supplement, which, unbeknownst to me, had been contaminated with an illegal component. So he puts out there that, again, and this is the part of it, Mike, first of all, understand these guys work out 12 months a year. There is no off season for especially NBA guys. They're all over the country. They're doing things. In many cases, they're playing abroad. But they're always working on their bodies. And so John goes on and says, I plan to fight my suspension and arbitration so I can get back on the court as soon as possible to help contribute to the 2019-2020 campaign. That's what Mike was mentioning about, you know, the appeals process. But when you are trying to – and remember his body type. He's not a muscular guy. If you've ever seen John, you've been to a Hawks game, you know, he's not building – you know, he's not a bodybuilder. He's a lean, fit guy. But this supplement – that was given to him, here's the argument, or at least the part of this that kind of gets lost in translation. The Hawks are not responsible 24-7 when these guys are in the offseason. Now, during the season, if something's going on with me, Mike, or I'm taking something, I want to go to the Hawks staff and say, hey, I'm taking this, what's going on? But everybody thinks that these trainers and their doctors are constantly around these guys, always monitoring them, thinking that, okay, John, you're working out with such and such. You need to be not taking this. That's not how it works. So guys have trainers. They have their own people. They have their own teams. And whether that's where the mistake happened with John. But, you know, as I was told today, Mike, that's kind of the deal with this supplement. And he did not know that this growth hormone, again, was on the banned substance list. And then he tested. And now he's going to miss these games. And I agree with you. I don't think he's going to get the appeal. And remember, DeAndre Ayton is another guy who just got suspended 25 games. Now, his was a diuretic. Completely different, okay? There are a couple of reasons why you take a diuretic. And most of you, if you're familiar with...
You're masking something out of your system, right?
Cutting weight or either or. This is different for John Collins.
So, again, guys, you know, different sport. Taylor Lewan, remember, he was going to take a lie detector test, and he said, like, he didn't know he had taken it. If you're, it's in your body, it's in your body. In the NFL and the NBA, they're not looking the other way. So even though, as we said, we got nothing but respect for John because we had him on the show just last week. When I looked it up, GHRP-2, one of the things that popped up, first thing I saw, Carl, was Extreme Formulations Ultra Reptile. Or I'll check that. Ultra Peptide French Vanilla, 2-pound box. So I don't know if that was what he was going for, but some of these things are described as a combination of herbal and this and that and milk-based and nuts. So it's kind of a stretch that it turns out to be one of the banned substances, which is supposed to be HGH.
Yeah, and listen, I want to give John the benefit of the doubt in the sense that maybe this is something that does get appealed down. But if it doesn't, for Hawks fans, this just hurts you. And it hurt us because now you're talking about a guy that's going to miss 30% of the season. There are 82 games. You're missing 25 games, and you're missing a guy that was scoring, you know, on average. You
18 to 20 a night, right?
Well, 20 and 10. I call him a 20 and 10 guy. He's averaging right now about 17 and 9, but the season's just underway. By the time we get to the middle of the season, Mike, or let's say the, you know, January, he's going to be giving you 20 and 10 a night.
Well, the thing with John is, remember, I had a couple guys come at me on Twitter going, yeah, well, he's banged up. That's why he's – no, he had an ankle injury last year that anybody could get in the NBA. He missed the beginning of the season last year.
Has nothing to do
there
with
was nothing to come. There was nothing coming up this summer with any kind of rehab or anything like that, guys. So don't take 2 and 2 and get 5 out of it. So, again, let's hope that he gets the appeal, knowing, as we just give you some recent history in multiple sports, it never seems to work. But that's what John has released in his statement. I hope it does because I hate to see this. And for purely selfish reasons, I got the over-under 36 wins.
It is Dukes and Bell. It's our strong arm story of the day. Meanwhile, that's the bad news. Here's the good news. Trae Young is back. And Trae will be in action tonight coming off that ankle injury. Now, Young's averaging about 27, 5 rebounds, 7 assists a game. Remember, he started the season in those first couple of games on a tear. I really think he was getting off to a great start. And then the ankle injury. So hopefully he can get back. And, Mike, this is where I'm at with this team. Now, you know, you got Cam Reddish, you got DeAndre Hunter and all these guys who are literally learning on the job. DeAndre looks a lot more ready right now than Cam, but maybe that comes along. But, Trae, here's his opportunity without his, you know, cohort and John Collins, who, to me, those two guys together are the base and the core of what we've got going on. Obviously, Kevin Huerter as well. But take over. You know, nobody's going to complain about Trae taking over. And if he scores 38, you know, over the next 5, 6, 7, 8 games, whatever it might be, who knows? Maybe we go on a tear and Trey goes on one of these must-see things that we've seen around the NBA. I think you brought up James Harden earlier.
I mean, we wouldn't have a problem with him taking every shot. You know, I mean, late in the game, I'd rather see him on, you know, a three-point stripe than a guy like Alex Len. So, yeah, it's a chance for Trey to do his thing, but it just does hurt you because now you've lost the oop to your alley. You know, you've lost the pick to your role. You know, these are your guys that were really working so well together, and that's been a part of, as we said, the young team building around the core of Trey and John Collins. So it does, it just, it's a shot to the gut. It does. And I know it's immediately getting people, Carl, as we said earlier in the show, well, damn Atlanta sports, I get you. Other than Atlanta United, 2019 cannot end soon enough. I mean, there were some good memories, we just hadn't finished. This is a start to the season, which kind of screws up your head about where this team's going to go. But you're right. You got an all-star in Trey Young, we believe, who now has got a chance to shine, and unfortunately, more heavy lifting. It's all going to be on his shoulders.
All right, guys, your thoughts, 404-741-0929. This is not purposely done. It was not one of those situations, again, where he's trying to mask something. This was one of a situation for John Collins that taking a supplement from a trainer, and then it turns out to be on the banned substance list. We'll see if he gets the appeal. 404-741-0929.
And the other thing, guys, other story, and it's got an Atlanta angle because he played his college high school football here, is Cam Newton. He has to shut it down, guys. IR for Cam Newton. And we were talking earlier with Tutan Reyes and Takeo Spikes. They think he's going to get another shot to start. It, maybe not with the Carolina Panthers. He's got a year they can opt out of, Carl, one more year left on his deal. What's up with Cam Newton? He's played 2 games this year. They went on a 7-game losing streak, struggled with his arm last year, had to change his throwing motion, and then this year it was a lower body. It was a leg injury, which now sets him on the IR. A
lot of things Cam's been dealing with. Mike, can we honestly say they probably should have done this last year? Remember he struggled and they went on that 7-game losing streak? Cam would tell you he wasn't 100%, but he was trying to battle for his team, and it ultimately hurt him. As we talk about Cam and obviously the Falcons, guys, it's always brought to you by our friends at Domino's. 3-topping Domino's pizza for $7.99 each day, like today or tomorrow. Mike, I think he's done with Carolina. They don't owe him any more money on this contract. They could walk away and not have to worry.
It's a Liz Frank injury, a busted foot, and that's what's kept him out. But again, the mechanics, we talked about that rainy game against Tampa Bay at home. Remember that one? They had the rain delay. And he was missing receivers all over the place. The optics on Cam just haven't looked. This guy's an MVP, you know, just 5 years ago, and it seems like it's 20 years ago.
All right, coming up, Mike Conte's on his way down to the arena, which means we will share some stories with, in case you missed it. I've got one to share, Mike, and it's not making me feel good.
Oh.
By Resurgence Orthopedics. From neck to toes, muscle to bones, get moving again with Resurgence Orthopedics. Schedule your appointment online today at resurgence.com.
A lot going on today. We'll get you caught up in our top 3 at 6. It's on the way here in about 15 minutes. Mike, you remember a couple of weeks ago when I got the phone call and I was out in the hallway and you thought it was something crazy going on and you were like, I'll leave you alone.
I was confused as to what was going on. Well, your dialogue had thrown me off.
Yeah, so that was a call from my daughter, who at the time, a few weeks back, was very upset because basically I had put her on restriction. I put my foot down. And the problem was I had left the note with her mom basically saying, she's not allowed to do anything. And if she's got a problem, you tell her to call me. Well, she did. Right about 5 o'clock.
Yeah, during the show. That's why I was like, I heard a lot of blubbering. I heard a lot of pleading.
Yes.
And I was not sure what was going on.
So
there.
Literally, Mike hears me on the phone, and all he hears on the other end is, that's all he hears. And he's like, I'll leave you alone.
So, I thought your wife was in a car accident. Yeah. Heaven forbid, but I mean, I was like, what the hell's going on over
here? So she got home from school. She's a freshman in high school. Mm-hmm. And literally, she hadn't done the things that I had asked her to do. And basically, I said, you're not doing anything for the weekend. Well, she had made plans to go to a football game that particular Friday night.
Uh-oh.
And she had a friend who was playing. And she was on the phone pleading with me, Daddy, I've done everything you've wanted. I don't understand why I'm on restriction, Daddy. What do you want from me? So she's going on and on and on.
Right.
So I said, fine. Trin, tell your mom that you can go. And she completely, okay, I'll let her know. So the next time I get a call, it's from her mom saying, oh, you're going to put this on me now. You told me no.
Oh, no.
So we go back and forth. Little did I know, Mike, she goes to this football game at an opposing high school, and she went to see a young man. His name is Marcus. He plays football. He's a running back.
Okay, I like him already. He's a good guy. He's playing football.
Slow down, mister.
Hey, you know.
So this has been going on
for... Don't want to date one of the bad kids.
...for a few weeks now. And last night... Because today's voting day.
Right.
School was out today. So last night, literally on my way home, I get, hey, she's going to movies. Who's going to movies? Trent's going to movies. With who? She's going to movies with Marcus. Who?
Uh-oh.
Marcus.
Oh, hell no.
So this guy's a stud. Huh?
I hadn't even met this guy.
What's his 4-3 time? What's his 40 time?
Mike, that's not important right now. I said, I hadn't even met this kid. She's going to the movies with Marcus? So she's like, yeah, I asked her to go to the movies, and then so... So I just tweeted this out because yesterday when she
was a good-looking kid?
Would you stop it? She says to me, Dad, I'm going to movies. I'm going to Marcus, and you can meet him afterwards. I said, is this the same kid that you were crying about not wanting to go? Because I had you on restriction, and you wanted to go see this guy play football. Yeah, this is who it was.
Mm.
Mike, I'm not liking this. I'm not liking
this. How tall is this kid?
Mike, would you stop?
Well, no, I'm just saying.
And this, all I can hear in my head from Boomerang is that damn
Marcus,
name.
Eartha Kitt, Marcus. By the way, it is funny, and I've seen this with friends of mine who are married with children, like you, that were, well, dare I say, players in their formative years.
I don't know what you're talking
and
about.
And now it is the ultimate irony. Craig goes through the same thing, because Craig, you know, this guy's like unbelievable, his game. And when you have daughters, I think if I had a daughter, I'd have her locked in the basement with a chastity belt in a box like a veal. You know, they never come out. But, I mean, this is the real world you're living in. And apparently this guy's a stud.
Okay. You know what?
Football player, good-looking kid. What's he look? Give me, who does he look like?
No, he is a good-looking kid. When I rolled up to pick her up last night at the movie, because, you know, I want it to be, like, the worst. I roll up, and I roll the window down. You ready to go?
And did you already do the bad boys routine with him?
It's cool. And the young man, like, walks into the car, and, you know, hello, Mr. Dukes. Nice to meet you. I'm Marcus. That's all I can hear in the back of my head. And, no, he seems to be a nice kid. But here's the deal. 3 weeks removed from a total breakdown, Mike Bell, which you witnessed on the phone.
I heard it.
Here we are now. And yeah, I don't know where this is going.
But you caved.
Well, don't remind me, okay?
I'm just saying, but we've seen this with parents. You know, one parent says one thing.
Listen, I tried reverse psychology, okay?
You don't want to be the bad guy.
I literally said, I'm going to allow you to do this. You're saying you're going to do all the things you need to do. I want you to show me. I'm going to show you. Okay, we'll see.
So now they're playing you like a violin.
Yeah, tell me about it.
Well, while Trinity was hanging out with Marcus.
Okay, would you stop?
Last night, if you missed it, Monday Night Football. How about them Cowboys? Well, they were off to a sluggish start. Them and the Giants were kind of a real dogfight, or should I say catfight. By now, you may have seen the video, but have you heard Kevin Harlan on Westwood One? Good friend of ours, Squidbilly, played it earlier in Yeah Man, No Man, but we wanted you guys stuck in traffic to hear it because it's priceless. Kevin did this once when a drunk guy streaked down the field. Take a listen last night when a black cat is spotted in the other end zone.
A black cat has taken the field. A black cat is running from the 20 to the near side, the 10. From the 39 in Dallas, here's a short throw down the middle caught by Ingram. Caught at the 35, went to the 30. Now the cat running the other way. And so is Ingram at the 30 to the 25 to the 24-yard line of the Dallas Cowboys. It's a catcher on a 15. Now the cat is stopped. Now he's at the 5. He's walking to the 3. He's at the 2. And the cat is in the CDW red zone. CDW, people who get it now, a policeman, a state trooper has come on the field. And the cat runs into the end zone. That is a touchdown. And the cat is elusive. And it runs up the tunnel.
That is great.
That's gold. I love the fact he's calling. It's a cop. One guy's going this way. The cat's going that way. And he works in the sponsorship for the red zone. Gold, man. Gold.
It is. It might be Kevin Harlan's best call. Seriously. The ad-lib to be able to stay focused. But he did it before. Bo mentioned this with the guy at a streaker that ran on the field. But that, to me, is one of the all-time best.
Good stuff, man. Okay, so we go across the Hudson over to Manhattan. A story in today's New York Post. A Lucchese crime family associate going to jail named Christopher Londonio. How you doing?
Londonio!
Oh! He's going. He's got a RICO. He's got a RICO predicates, Carl. He's up for racketeering, and he's staying at the Metropolitan Detention Center. And he says there's a rat, apparently a cellmate.
There's always a rat.
He's up for, he's looking at 10 to 15. The rat says he was working on a jailbreak. Now, the thing about this mobster is he's about 350 pounds, so he's been hitting the cannolis. The plan was, Carl, to lose 200 pounds and then find a way to sneak out. Jailhouse snitch David Evangelista testified in Londino Oh, his elaborate plan, cutting through the window with braided, listen to this, braided dental floss.
Oh,
I guess
wow.
You need a lot of dental floss. Severing bars with a hacksaw smuggled in by a family friend, a priest, and then a crash diet, which he would binge on bran. Again, he started at 350. He got down 200 pounds. Where's the hacksaw? Where's the dental floss? Where's the priest, his defense attorney, Mr. Marangolo, asked? When told by the snitch, Evangelista, that he was hoarding sheets to tie bedsheets together to scale the wall, the lawyer also said, what, you can't have extra sheets? When did that become a crime? Either way, the court case continues in New York City.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Good news is he lost some LBs, though. I mean, that's a crash diet.
Well, yeah, he was trying to squeeze through the bars, though, right, or something like that?
Yeah, the mobster lost so much weight, a former associate who took the stand against him couldn't point him out amongst people at the defense table.
Wow.
It's a great ad. I mean, hey, call it the Rikers diet, Carl. Watch the pounds just come off magically.
It's in case you missed it. It's our version, guys, telling you a few things going on today.
Hey, real quick, I meant to mention this earlier, but we've had so much stuff, you know, bouncing around today and stories breaking. This morning, I barely made it to work today because I started watching TV around, like, noon. You know what's on? It's you can DVR it and find it. It's, I guess Bravo became Ovation. Remember Inside the Actors Studio?
Of course.
So Carl and I, as you guys well know, we do it almost every week on Rapid Fire. We'll always on our, you know, we'll always come up with some kind of movie question for the game winner. We love movies. Well, Al Pacino does 2 hours on Inside the Actors Studio, interviewed by Ellen Burstyn. Remember that pretentious, pompous James Lipton? Well, they put him out to pasture. So now when you see people on the show, they're interviewed by other actors who are members of the Actors Studio, prestigious acting school in New York. Bro, if you're a movie fan and you like guy movies,
it's cool.
Everything from Scarface to The Godfather to Dog Day Afternoon to you name it, man. Pacino gets into it, Scent of a Woman. It's must-see, guys. And he's kind of a stream of consciousness. He'll go off on a tangent, come back. He'll tell three stories while trying to tell one story. But you definitely want to catch Al Pacino inside the Actors Studio.
How old is Pacino now? 70 what?
That's a great question. Let me look that up.
Because I recently saw him in they were promoting
The Irishman?
Yes. And they were sitting there talking about
He's
the fact
79.
Okay, that they had never done really, you know, movies together. And they asked him, is this going to be the last time you guys work together like this?
Right.
And they all kind of looked at each other and went, we hope not.
Right, because in Godfather 2, they were never in the same scene because it was a younger Vito Corleone played by De Niro. And then, of course, the scene in the luncheonette and then the ending of the movie Heat, which everybody was waiting to see.
Good stuff, man. It's Dukes and Bell. We're coming back. Top three at 6. Falcons, what's going on as they start getting ready for the Saints? The John Collins suspension and more. It's all on the way here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com.
One of them young punks coming to take my baby out on the first date. Who the fuck are you?
I'm Mr. Bennett. I'm
Marcus.
What you doing here?
I came to take out Megan.
What?
I came to take out Megan.
How old are you?
I'm 15, Mr. Bennett.
You look 30.